in our pain, in our anger. Let us still recall we are each of us a stranger, but we are kindred all. As we find ourselves in heroes, so we'll also find our flaws. Let us find the strength that we will need to give us peace. In the anguish of our losses, let us not despair. While the light of freedom shines, let us choose our course with care.
Hello, and welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. We're continuing the interview of Ray McGovern by Scott Horton. By the way, Scott Horton has some of the best information you can find about what's going on overseas. In this interview, Ray McGovern, who is a former senior analyst at the CIA, discusses how the U.S. government is once again fixing the facts around the policy, and he explains why Petraeus has made his analysts stop honest assessments of the failing Afghanistan war. Ray McGovern urges us to get out and protest government wrongdoing.
People have forgotten that it was 8 years, 8 full years, that Iran stopped working on a nuclear weapon. And people have forgotten that it's possible to drum up this kind of furor and start the juggernaut toward war. And unless we get a new set in the constellation. See, last time we had Admiral Mullen, okay? He's a professional military guy, okay?
Back in 2007.
Yeah, and he knew which end was up. And we had Admiral Fallon, head of CENTCOM, who famously told my friend Pat Lang, "Look, Pat, there's not going to be a war in my watch." And Pat looked at him and he says, "Is it okay if I tell people that?" And Fallon winked at him. And so Pat told the Washington Post. So Fallon was canned, but Mullen was still around. And when the CIA came out with an honest estimate about the Iranians having stopped working on a nuclear weapon at the end of 2003, guess who went to the White House to talk to the president about it? Mullen. And he said, "Now, Mr. President," this is Bush at the time, "you know, this kind of judgment is bound to leak. So I think maybe you ought to publish the principal judgments of this thing." This at a time when Cheney and Bush were beating the drums for war on the premise that Iraq was about to get a nuclear weapon. Now, when Mullen winked at the president knew damn well that, number one, he couldn't fire Mullen because of what Mullen would say, and number two, Mullen or his friends would leak this information sure as hell if the president didn't release the key judgments himself. So in his book, Bush says, "So I decided to release the key judgments so that we could put some facts together with these erroneous judgments." Facts. There we go again. Facts to fix the intelligence. So it suits their purposes. This time it didn't. That time it didn't work. This time it may, because Mullen's not around anymore. I don't know much about his replacement, but certainly he doesn't have the cachet or the strength to repeat the very strong representations that Mullen made. After all, the military know better than anyone else what war is like, and they know that a war with Iran would be, well, as I've said before, would make Iraq look like a volleyball game between Mount St. Ursula and St. Helena's High School.
All right. Well, it's Ray McGovern. He's the co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and he writes at consortiumnews.com, the website of the heroic Robert Perry, the great investigative journalist. We run everything he writes at antiwar.com/McGovern. And the latest is called Petraeus' CIA Fuels Iran Murder Plot. And now, I kind of wanted to ask you, Ray, whether you think that maybe the tide has turned a little bit. They've hit us with so many lies, so many really big lies with major consequences behind them for so many years in a row now. It seems like, you know, maybe on this one, they're not quite getting away with it. I'm not, you know, the best surveyor of all cable TV news, but certainly online in, you know, the websites of major newspapers, are many articles with many quotes of many Iran experts casting major doubt on this story, and it seemed like it made a big splash for a day, but not much longer than that.
Well,
am I too hopeful?
I would like to be optimistic about that, but you can bet that John Brennan does not select antiwar.com articles for Obama to read at night, okay? Obama's in a bubble. Panetta has described himself in his confirmation hearings as a creature of Congress. Where is Congress on this?
Well, Tel Aviv.
Somebody suggested that they ought to make Israel, you know, the 51st state, but that was rejected by a vociferous Republican majority who said, no, that would only give them two senators. Okay, that's how Congress is. So the constellation in the internet world may be better, and indeed, even the New York Times, not wanting to be impaled on bad information again, could see through this one. But that doesn't really matter a hell of a lot. What really matters is how Obama judges his chances in the next presidential election against people who fall all over themselves to seem 100% in favor of Israel, and even more important, how Netanyahu judges the chances that our president would do anything other than salute smartly and support any kind of armed conflict in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, earlier I talked with Flint Leverett from the New America Foundation, a former CIA analyst himself and National Security Council guy, et cetera, keeper of the great blog Race for Iran. And his major point was that, you know, the details of the plot that seemed not so believable aside for the moment, in the larger sense, Iran's foreign policy is definitely not to pick a fight like this. That, in fact, they're winning on many fronts. And by winning, that means they're still able to deter us and maintain their independence from us. And they're winning by not doing things like murder Saudis that would, you know, obviously inflame Saudi opinion against them. They would rather have the people of the Middle East's opinion on their side, if not the governments of the Middle East on their side. And so far it's working for them, especially in Iraq where America finished off Saddam Hussein for them. But that it just is absolutely implausible, according to Flint Leverett and his analysis, that they would engage in anything like this that would give America an excuse to escalate the conflict, even the sanctions, even short of military conflict.
Well, Flint Leverett and his spouse, Hillary Mann, know more about Iran have forgotten more about Iran than I'll ever learn. They are the best, okay? And, of course, the obverse of what they've said is if Iran couldn't benefit from this kind of thing, and that's clear, cui bono, who would benefit from this kind of thing? What country in that part of the world would see advantage in a plummeting of relations between the U.S. and Iran? Well, if people don't know the answer to that, they haven't been paying attention, okay? So what we have here are situations where the worst news that I saw yesterday was that the head of the CIA was helping to fill out this plot, okay? And we mentioned that before, but this is very serious because it means that my old colleagues back there are being twisted by Petraeus to say things that they can't possibly believe. Now, that has to do with Iran, but now let's talk about Afghanistan. Today we have an AP report in which Petraeus is quoted as saying, look, when you're doing estimates, you CIA analysts, you have to give greater weight to the opinions of troops in the fight. We've got to put our drafts before the colonels and the generals on the ground in Afghanistan and know what they think, because they won't be so pessimistic. They won't say this is a feckless exercise or a fool's errand. They will say, guess what? They'll say there's, quote, progress, but it's, you know the rest of it, it's tentative and it's reversible. That's what I say, Petraeus says, and that's what we'll say. So what do we have here? We have a new guy head of the only intelligence agency in our government who has the charter to tell it like it is, okay, to point out, as my colleagues did on Iran, that they're not working on a nuclear weapon. Now, how are they going to fare if they say, look, General Petraeus, but with all due respect, now we have taken a consistent line for the last 5 years that Afghanistan is not winnable, that there's been no progress, not even tentative or reversible progress, and we're not going to write anything different. What's going to happen to those analysts, I ask you? You know, Scott, what do you think will happen to them?
Well, they're gone, and all this was obvious the moment that they said they're going to move him over to CIA. His first order business is going to be to write up a new estimate about what a great job he did with his bogus surge killing people over there with their night raids and their drone strikes. That's accomplished nothing other than kill a bunch of people and create a bunch more enemies to fight for longer.
Oh, yeah, we can have a new normal, okay? The new normal is the long war.
Yeah, and losing Petraeus forever.
Petraeus is on record as saying that our grandchildren are going to be fighting the same war. Well, hello. It's great for the defense industries. It's great for people who want to put another star on their lapel. It's terrible for the poor kids we send over there to kill and be killed.
Well, now, Ray, I wonder if you remember or if you noticed back, say, 6 months ago or so, Philip Weiss was supplied an email by a reader that David Petraeus had answered him a question about the surge, but he had accidentally... Or it was about Iran, but he had accidentally attached his conversation with Max Boot at the bottom of the email.
Oh,
Max
Boot, this is key. Yeah, we wrote this up. Bob Perry and I wrote this up. This was authentic emails. We had the texts of them. Why? Because Petraeus is not really all that good at emailing. And when he answered this little kudo that was sent to him by a friend of mine, he said, well, okay, thanks, but we're not making a big deal of this. Now, what's that all about? The big deal was, my friend said, thank you very much for pointing out the essential nature of the Arab-Israeli dispute and the fact that the Israelis will not show any flexibility, endangers our troops. That was in your testimony. We thank you, General Petraeus. So he gets back a little email. Well, thanks very much for the thought, but we're not going to make a big deal of this. And then attached to that email is this long conversation with Max Boot, an arch neoconservative, where Petraeus first says, Max, that testimony that I give, when I talked about how the Israeli obstinance is harming our troops, you know, I didn't say that. That was just in my prepared testimony in the written part. But the blogs are going crazy about this. They're saying that Israel needs to. What do we do? And Max Boot says, well, that's all right. I'm writing an article now which says that you're not anti-Semitic. And Petraeus says, well, would it be good to mention that I had Elie Wiesel over to dinner last night, or that I'm going to be appear at a Holocaust museum next week? And Max Boot says, no, relax, David. We got you covered. Nobody's calling you. And just lay low. This will blow over. And you know what Petraeus does? He sends back a little email with a smile face on it, the colon, and, you know, one of those closed parentheses, you know.
Yeah.
So this guy is a political animal. I'm sure he has his eyes set on, 2016, okay? And so he's going to be shaving things in a way that, you know, I've seen some pretty terrible CIA directors, but this guy is off to a terrible start.
Yeah. The reason that anecdote is so important, Ray, is because, you know, obviously on Afghanistan, his first order of business is going to be, as director of CIA, to make his blunders as general in charge look good and all that. You can see his direct interest there. But
sure,
why would Petraeus go along with a war with Iran that so far it seems like the Pentagon has had a consensus that they're against? What is it with him? Oh, it's this political interest of his to make nice with the Israel lobby, because after all, they're the only ones who really want a war with Iran.
Well, that's right. And he sees his bread buttered on that side. He's been very close to neocon. Max Boot is the worst of the worst. Okay.
He's the guy that wrote the case for American Empire back in 2002.
Yeah. So Petraeus sees his interest to be served by cooperating fully with these people, and I'm sure he's getting lots of slaps on the back, lots of kudos for, as David Ignatius put it, who's another neoconservative, for turning the implausible story that we've been exposed to into a plausible story. You know, it boggles the mind. If you're interested in what I consider to be the key, one of the key flaws in this story, I'll repeat this from my friend Ray Close, who was chief of station in Saudi Arabia in the 70s. He says, now, suppose you're an Iranian undercover operative, right? And you have instructions to hire a killer to assassinate the Saudi Arabian ambassador. Now, why in hell would you consider it necessary to explain to a presumed Mexican, I won't use the expletive, that this murder was planned and would be paid for by a secret organization in Iran. Hello? Whoever concocted this sale, Ray continues, wanted this plot exposed to precipitate a major crisis in relations between Iran and the United States. End of quote. We've got the president himself involved now, as well as Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton. I fear for what might happen here because the juggernaut is again in motion, and David Petraeus is head of the CIA, and whoever it was that took Mullen's place don't have the cachet or the willingness to put a spoke into the wheels of that juggernaut.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it, that I haven't heard much of this guy Ray Close. The name sounds familiar, but from a long time ago. But, you know, Christopher Ketchum wrote an article a couple of years back for Counterpunch that began, "Scratch a CIA or an American intelligence agent, and they will start telling you about Israeli covert operations inside the United States." You know,
well,
just under the surface of pretty much all of you guys is a bunch of stories about how their interests and our interests are not the same, as David Petraeus will admit accidentally on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a very, very long history of the Israelis trying to persuade us specifically to go at Iran. All manner of justifications adduced and all manner of carrots as well as sticks held out by Israeli interests and the Likud lobby in this country. So it's not a surprise that this would be in the works. What is a surprise is that they would choose this kind of phony story as if nobody's awake, that as if the New York Times can be co-opted every single time, no matter how flimsy the evidence. So let's hope that reason will prevail. But Barack Obama is not a courageous person. He sees himself as hemmed in by Netanyahu. He tells Netanyahu, hey, no more settlements, please. Netanyahu puts his right thumb to his nose, wags his fingers. That's what he gets from Netanyahu. When he asked Netanyahu, please don't shoot up the boats that are coming to Gaza with Alice Walker and New York Times and other people on it, Netanyahu put his right thumb to his nose and wagged his fingers. That's why Obama had to go to the Greeks and say, please, please don't let them leave your ports. Please. I don't have any guarantee that the Israelis won't do what they did the year before and shoot some of my citizens up. And this time it's a U.S. boat, you know. So suffice it to say that Obama is regarded by Netanyahu as somebody who can be used in any way that he wants. And if he decides, despite the advice of his military and his former intelligence people, that it would be a good idea to start some sort of armed fracas by provoking Iran, I think he's probably and sadly right that Obama would consider he had no option but to follow the John Brennans of the world, believe what they tell him, and be in there with both feet, despite what our military and the Israeli military think about the notion of, my God, can you imagine, a war with Iran.
Now, Ray, I wonder if in your experience and your knowledge of Israeli covert operations inside and against the United States over the years, whether you think it's plausible or even likely that the Israelis are actually the ones who made up this plot in the first place.
I think it's likely.
I'm asking you to speculate, but I'm calling it that.
Yeah, well, you know, on these kinds of things, you have to go on past practice. If there weren't such a very long list of precisely this kind of thing, although usually not so clumsy, it would be pure speculation. But this is speculation based on previous experience. I don't like to make judgments except on empirical things, but previous experience can be pretty empirical, right? So, yeah, I think it's altogether possible that that the Israelis either have somebody from Mossad within on the sending end of that $100,000, or in some other way they have insinuated themselves into the White House itself with people like John Brennan, eager. Now, Brennan, of course, was chief of station Saudi Arabia for a while. So you can see, you know, what his experience is, and the Saudis have openly called for the overthrow of the Iranian government. So, and Phil Giraldi told me early today that the Saudis have been talking to the Israelis directly about persuading the U.S. to do their bidding and join an attack on Iran. So the constellation is all there, and I'm not sure that Barack Obama has enough adult advisors to warn him about what Admiral Mike Mullen warned, and that is You know, you attack Iran, they have all manner of ways to retaliate, not least of which is against our troops that remain in Iraq or Afghanistan, or sealing the Strait of Hormuz, denying the world of 30% of their oil and trade.
Hey, the whole fleet at Bahrain?
Yeah, or real terrorism, like not concocted terrorism. It would probably help, probably occur more in Europe or other U.S. establishments abroad. But, you know, the Iranians are not Iraq, and I'm not sure that anybody is telling a Barack Obama that. And, I find that to be so, so stupid, because Obama should be smart enough to realize that he shouldn't have gone with all these inherited folks that have such a record on torture, on human rights violations, on prisons and kidnapping.
Well, you know,
Ray,
it could be
stuff.
That he personally is that bad on all of these issues.
Yeah, you know, McGovern has come a long way in the last 3 years, and I'm not there yet, but, you know, that's an alternative explanation, and it very well may be true. It does seem that he's bought this trickle-down economic theory. Otherwise, you know, he couldn't possibly be saying the things he's saying. So maybe you're right.
It wasn't internet donations. It was Goldman Sachs that bankrolled that last campaign. And this one, too. He ain't going to raise $1 billion from nowhere. He's going to get it from the Treasury, actually, by way of the military-industrial complex and the banks, just like last time.
Well, the good news. Good news is what's happening in New York, where I'm going in 15 minutes down to Freedom Plaza in Washington. Hundreds of us there now. On the weekend, we'll have thousands again. And, you know, the people united will not be defeated. We are the 99%, and that will count for something. This is new, and this is very hopeful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be spreading
That's what I've
the
been
message.
Counting on this whole time is, you know, the best of the left and the best of the right and the libertarians all coming together to form a new realignment, a new consensus against imperialism, against corporate welfare and bailouts for billionaires, and against this assault on our Bill of Rights. What could be more red, white, and blue than all of these things? And as the crisis gets worse overseas and as the economic crisis gets worse here at home, we see the old categories are just falling apart. You know, people are starting to really realize who's on whose side for a change in a more accurate way, I would say.
I hope you're right. I see the same thing. I have trouble making sure that I'm not just being optimistic. But this is new, and it needs to be encouraged. All your listeners, if you're anywhere near Washington, come to Freedom Square. If you're other places, go to the local places, San Francisco, Los Angeles. They all have people that are doing these things these days, and that's the way we're going to make an impact.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and for your writing and all your activism and everything, Ray. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Scott.
Everybody, that's Ray McGovern. For 27 years, he was a CIA analyst. He's a co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and he writes at consortiumnews.com, the website of the great Robert Perry. You can also find his archive at antiwar.com/McGovern.
You can hear great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org. Or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Isn't anybody going to change the story? Isn't anybody going to change the world? Isn't anybody gonna bask in glory? Isn't anybody gonna say the word? Start giving and not taking. Start living, not faking. Start hoping, not dreading. Start leading, not chasing. Start talking, not walking. Start living and giving. Start loving. Doesn't anybody want to change the story? Doesn't anybody want to change the world? Doesn't anybody want to bask in glory? Doesn't anybody want to say the word? Start giving, not taking. Start living, not Start talking, not walking. Start loving. It's like a trip I'm on. Like a trip I'm on. In an instant gone. Say the word.